What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
My name is Angel Tanksley because I'm married to that man. Angel Akita Moore because I was sent here on this earth to entertain. And I'm also known as That Chick Angel. That Chick Angel. Angel. That Chick Angel. My name is That Chick Angel because I also monetize the fact that I've been sent here to entertain. And I'm one of the hosts of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? And I am joined by my husband, the man who's over here in this red looking so delicious. Tell him who you are, baby.
I am Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, the other host of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument. Hey, fam, if this is your first time tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. This is a podcast we do every single week. We pretty much talk about anything we feel like it. And we do it every single week in front of a live family audience. You understand what I'm saying? It's a live family audience. When I say family, I mean that's our Patreon. The people in our Patreon, we talked to them a little bit before, although I didn't today because I was trying to order some food. We talked to them a little bit after. We do a bunch of special things with them. We have a good time over here, okay? We be praying together. We be staying together. Hey, if you want to be a part of that media family on that Patreon, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/thatchickangel, sign up for the low, low of $5 a month, and be a part of the goodness. And we are also joined by three wonderful sponsors.
Yes, we are. And I'm so super excited about them because one of them is new and it's very relative to our life. And because a lot of our audience have family households similar to ours, I'm really excited about introducing this company to our Patreon. But all three are amazing and they are OutSchool, Shopify, and BetterHelp. We'll tell you more about all three of our sponsors later on in the podcast. But let me tell you why we have sponsors. We have sponsors as a way, one, obviously, to help us make money doing this podcast because this is a part of how we make a living. But when we partner with outside companies that have a service or a product that we think would be good for our listeners, not only is this partnership become like something where we're able to leverage and make money, also we're able to extend a discount to our listeners for the product or the service. So we never ask anybody to try out something that they would never, ever want to begin with. But if you hear that one of these businesses has a product or a service that you have been thinking about getting, if you've been like, oh my goodness, I need like something to supplement my child's education because they're just not getting everything I need them to get, you would possibly love our first sponsor, OutSource. Or you might be like, I want to start an e-commerce business, but I got to find a way to take orders. You would possibly love our second sponsor, Shopify. I do that all the time, Shopify. Or if you're like, listen, my mental health needs to be more of a priority. I need a therapist and I need for it to be something that works well in my schedule and is affordable, then you're going to love BetterHelp. So again, we partner with them so that hopefully if they have something you want, you'll want to partner with them too. How are you, man of my life?
I'm good. I'm real good. Was an eventful weekend.
What? You had stuff that happened this weekend.
I'm good. I'm in a good place.
You are?
Yeah. How about you?
Thank you. I am.
See, that's so unnatural for me to be like, so how about you? Because usually Angel just starts talking. Okay. In like every day, like normal. Like.
Anyways, I am also doing really well. I'm realizing I need a pillow behind my back. I just realized how much I sink into this chair. That's why I be looking all frumpy on camera. Also, I am a frumpy person. I am feeling great. The workout that I did this morning definitely took a lot out of me, but I think I could have stayed awake. But I was like, take advantage of it. You ain't got to take kids to school. Go back to bed. I should have just stayed awake, started my day, gotten some stuff done. But instead, I got in that bed. It was super cold because I'm always cold after my workouts. Mm. But other than that little bit of like, you should have took advantage of it, I'm good. I really feel as though we had a great weekend. I'm excited that my son is back home and my family has a huge My family has a huge milestone that we're celebrating that I'll actually mention to the Patreon after we're done. If y'all remind me, Patreon. I'm not gonna put it on the main podcast out of
Patreon. Definitely, I know y'all will, but definitely remind us. Oh, y'all need to tell us.
Yes, please.
Such and such.
Eric Carr. Oh, all right. So let's start off with our oldest segment that we've ever had on this podcast, and that's In My Feelings.
Let me tell you what's got me in my feelings.
I got something making me feel good.
In My Feelings is a segment where we talk about what's got us feeling some type of way, something that probably pissed us off or got on our nerves this week. And then we flip the script and tell you all what's got us feeling really good. What's got us feeling jazzed. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that introduction, what you just said?
I did that
the
on purpose.
The order of operations.
I did that on purpose. Huh? Just so you could stop complaining. I swear. What's got you feeling some type of way? Everything.
Ain't nothing got... You know what? This has got me feeling some type of way. Y'all know what's going on in the country. Right now, it's a bunch of, you know, bull that's going on. You know what's crazy is right now, I'm watching The Godfather of Harlem with Forrest Whitaker. It's actually a pretty good series. I've been watching that, and, you know, it's some of the events in it, you know, because it has of course he's playing the gangster of Bumpy Johnson, who was an actual everybody in the move in the series was an actual real person, even though, you know, and even some of the storylines that they're telling actually happened, but not all of it. So they, of course, is Malcolm X in there. There's a bunch of people, you know, that's, you know, they retelling some of the stories that happened. Mm-hmm. And it's just like they're telling stuff, and a lot of the stuff, like a lot of the speeches that the guy who's playing Malcolm X, whenever they have him on doing an interview, it's an actual footage of the real Malcolm X giving the interview instead of him. Yes. So, like, that just showed you how some of the stuff actually was going down. Even the stuff of the gangster, a lot of the stuff, Bumpy Johnson, he did a lot of good for the community, but he was also poisoning the community.
Lil Marcus, you can put the camera on your daddy. You're doing multiple things.
And also poisoning the community by, you know, bringing in all types of drugs. But anyway, as I'm sitting there watching this series, I'm in like season two. I just started season three of how much stuff from the 60s that was being rioted and protested is still happening today. And even some of that stuff in the process of trying to get reversed. Yeah. I remember back in, what was this, 2016? It was a dude I went to high school with. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time Trump was running for office. And this George Floyd thing. No, it wasn't 2016.
Yeah, George Floyd didn't happen until 2020.
Something was going on in 2016 because Trump wasn't president yet. And I did a Facebook post about, no, he did a Facebook post. You know, everybody's doing the two different marches, like the Martin Luther King marching. And then they would put, you know, this is marching or protesting, not this. And it would show something current of people rioting. Mm-hmm. And I remember commenting on his post. I said, you're looking at it as the right way and the wrong way to make a change when both generations are trying to make the same change. How about 60 years later and nothing's and not a lot has changed? I said, that's what you should be pointing out. Mm-hmm. Because he was responding to everybody. He had nothing to say on that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the fact that they were marching and protesting and quote unquote rioting about the same shit.
Right.
60 years later.
It's insane.
Is insane. Like, we deserve to lose our patience. But anyway, the way that ain't got nothing to do with what's somewhat it does, because like I said, everything that's going on right now and a lot of people talking about, you know, we got to stop supporting these businesses so they, you know, make a change and blah, blah, blah. The thing is people ain't desperate enough, or at least we ain't desperate enough to make the type of do the type of protesting and organization that they had to do back then. Like, everybody thinks, oh, we're going to boycott this, we're going to boycott that. Not, I don't know if I said that on here before. I'm going to say it again, though. The type of boycott that they did back in the day financially crippled those institutions. They had no choice if they wanted to remain a business but to make changes that we wanted. Mm-hmm. People ain't that dedicated no more because they're not willing to inconvenience themselves enough.
I disagree.
People, look. The type of stuff I be seeing is like, oh, don't nobody go buy anything from these stores on these days. No. Don't buy anything from those stores. Or if you do, for instance, prime example, Target. If they, you know, are making these changes and removing all these things is going to help minorities. If people is like, oh, we're not going to get anything from Target. Or because Target is a business, they're going to remove anything from the shelf that ain't selling. How about you only purchase the things that are black owned from Target and absolutely nothing else? The reason I'm bringing this up is, like, I got stuff that I would order from Amazon on the regular. I got stuff I would get from Target regular, even Walmart. And I'm like, now I'm sitting here looking like, okay, now I got to go directly to these companies and order from their website. And that's going to take an extra week or two, because either I could go pick it up at Target or Walmart, mm-hmm. or Amazon gets it to me as I'm pressing order. And I'm like, now I'm not, like, I haven't spent a penny at any of these places, but I'm like, now this is causing a burden on me, mm-hmm. because I'm trying to support a cause that needs to be supported. And I'm like, I honestly don't see us being able to do that enough to actually do what needs to be done.
Okay, so let me tell you why I disagree. I was trying to be, I do think that is a part of it, but I also think when we, it's a quasi unfair to compare the two. When we look at the boycotts back during the civil rights movement, there were a lot of localized boycotts. Mm-hmm. So you were dealing with local companies, local restaurants, local businesses where that demographic could easily, not easily as in like, oh, it didn't cause their life any type of discomfort. When that sector of people, that community of people decided no more, that's what it took. Them saying no more for however long. Because we're now boycotting global organizations, mm-hmm. it takes organizing a lot more people than what I would say I've seen that happen in the 60s. Now, granted, also in the 60s, there was like boycotting of the government, which is a whole nother thing. But mm-hmm. when I think about, and then this is the two.
This is my section because I want to finish. Go ahead.
Go.
Say what you're saying, man.
I was trying to wait till you finish.
I'm just rebuttaling what you're saying. Go ahead.
Secondly, well, just rebuttal that. I don't need to make, this is not even, go ahead.
So what I was going to say is, yes, it was local. What they were doing, a lot of stuff was local. Almost everything was local because there was no internet. The local is only grown bigger. You see what I'm saying? Like, they were in their community. They weren't communicating on a daily basis with people in the next city or even in the next zip code or anything like that, because everything they did was local. I'm like, now that what's local is doesn't have, everything is local at this point almost. Like, if getting to work, boycotting the transportation system. Okay, that's how you get to work. That's how you get this. This is how you get your Target is or whoever is how you get your toothpaste or get this or get that. That is, to me, that's the same thing as, like, they couldn't communicate with the next city, but they can communicate with the people that's next door. Now everybody is next door. We have vast communication between the culture, within the culture.
We just don't see eye to eye.
Okay. But no, so that's my thing, is like getting enough people together willing to inconvenience themselves to make these big changes. And also which ones are we actually going to do? Is it going to be all of them? Is it going to be specific ones? We hit them. Because the thing is the only reason that these companies are removing, you know, whatever they're removing to better, you know, to make things more fair for black and brown people is because they're shareholders. If we are affecting the pockets of their shareholders, then their shareholders will also be the ones like, okay, let's back up, rethink. That's just how it changed. That's the only reason this has happened, because the people in office now are friends with the other multimillionaires and billionaires. And if they're not seeing our dollars, then, you know, things will change. But I do think we can, we have the power to do it. It's just, I don't see enough people pulling together doing it.
The reason why I was saying local is not larger is a part of what makes local or community a thing is that your way of life is similar. And we can look at how we live versus to even how our siblings live. And there is a huge difference. There's just a huge difference. So what it looks like to boycott what it looks like to how it fits into your life is different from community to community. The other thing that I was going to say that makes it also a little bit more difficult has to do with a little bit of the inconvenience of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. These companies would not have us in a chokehold if we did not believe we needed so many things.
Mm-hmm.
We have changed our lives into lives that have so many things that aren't necessary, but these companies have somehow convinced us that they are. So that's the reason why we're struggling with, well, how do we replace this? How do we replace that? You just don't need it, to be honest. That's how these companies become these billion-dollar companies. They have figured out a way to make you believe, well, you need this in your life. You have to have this in your life. If you don't have this in your life, how are you going to survive? The fact that I think about a Lunchable. Lunchable, honestly, doesn't need to exist. You can buy lunch meat. You can buy crackers. You can buy cheese. Throw it in a bag. Send your child off to school. But the thought of being able to just grab this $1.25 package that has everything already in it, it becomes a thing of, oh, okay, well, make sure you have Lunchables on the grocery list every week, because if not, what's the baby gonna eat? I think that is where it first begins. I feel like when we look at our predecessors and the generations that came before us, They weren't as far removed from living off of necessity as we are. Not to say they didn't have some luxuries in life. They had beautiful, some of them had beautiful cars, the ones that own cars, beautiful clothes, because there were upward mobility Black people even in the 50s. But now, even some of us who are living in what would be considered lower class, lower, middle, upper? Mm-hmm. In lower class, even some people living in lower class have luxuries that aren't actual necessities, whether it be Jordans, whether it be a PlayStation, or whatever it is. So it's the rewiring of getting back to the necessities and being a little bit more self-sustainable. That's, I feel like, another reason why.
I wish people would organize better, though, when we do organize. I mean, I know it's easier said than done when they say, you know, next Wednesday, don't nobody go shopping at these stores. It's like, but if somebody is thirsty and you don't give them a bucket of water on one day, but the day after that you give them two buckets of water, what's the point? That's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And no, if we can send out these mass text messages of, you know, don't do this on this day, let's do that for, you know, make it more gradual. It's almost like a diet. If you go balls to the wall hardcore, it's not going to be successful. But if you make these small changes little by little, it's going to end up being a large chunk. Yeah. Like people think, granted, yes, the Black community, our culture, yes, we are one of the top buying forces. But look at the lies that was told about Tommy Hilfiger back in the day. And everybody stopped buying Tommy Hilfiger. Even though it was a lie, that man's clothes is still in the mall right to this day. They're still expensive. They're still getting sold. So we got to remove this whole, you know, well, if we to do this, it's like, no, we got to do it in other aspects.
Also, the other thing I was going to say, and did it fly up out of my head? And I don't, and people were like, yes, conveniences. But I think about makeup. Makeup isn't a convenience. Makeup is something that we've been convinced that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Which is shapewear. Shapewear is not a convenience. Shapewear is something that we have completely somehow been trained to believe that we need it.
I use specific brands of soap, and now I'm like, well, Costco don't have those soaps, so what soap does Costco have that I actually like?
Yeah.
Because like, before I was like, no, I got to use this because of the way I smell. It's like, no soap gonna clean you or not, you know?
Yeah. Like, yes, there's been a conditioning of, there's so many things that I personally, if I were to walk through my house, I'd be like, don't need. Even the size of my house is not a necessity, but it's what I wanted. I wouldn't even call it a convenience. It is what I wanted, though. So, I think the overall us being so integrated also makes it so much more difficult. When segregation was more, and trust me, we still have segregated communities per se.
Yeah.
But we have integrated into a lot of these companies. We might not be in positions of power, but we are getting a check. And in some cases, we are in positions of power. We've integrated into a lot of different neighborhoods, a lot of different schools. So it's also, my thing is, I don't like when people bring up boycotts of the South as if it's comparing apples to apples as far as in methods, because where they were at in life and in this country looks different than where we are now in some aspects. So it just means, in my opinion, we have to approach it differently and understand why it might not be clicking. And then also, we don't have a prevalent leader. It was very clear that Martin Luther King was a leader that a lot of people were following. I don't know who that person is in 2025. So I'm always skeptical of a lot of people who are passionate, but not really considering the sacrifice you're asking that person to make is far greater than any sacrifice you'll have to make.
Yeah. But that's, and also when I say there's the difference is, again, people could only, like, granted, you had local leaders because most things was local, but the only person that they could get on the screen and view nationwide was somebody that was had a network of NBC, CBS with cameras pointed at them, to versus now you can do it from your phone.
And this is why I don't listen to half of the people, because I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely.
Like, when you look at a Dr. King, someone who himself had been arrested multiple times, someone who himself, you see him speaking at different churches, someone who himself was being talked about by a lot of people. This is without internet. Folk are talking about this man in cities and states he had never been to. I am not going to blindly follow someone who makes just an articulate TikTok video because they're passionate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
So that's the other thing of, like, from your house, I bet you are passionate, right? But what, as for me, we haven't shopped at Target since, I could tell you the exact day, January 17th. The last time we went was when we went to get shoes for the boys so we could go to Magic Castle. Haven't been to Target nor Walmart since then, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna say I don't think I've purchased from Amazon this year.
Now, Amazon I have purchased at multiple times.
But it's getting hard.
But for us, I already know this sacrifice is not that hard for us. Is it a little inconvenient? Yes. Am I spending more money? Absolutely. Having to go to CVS to get certain things, because, you know, those places are marked up, and having to go to find specialty stores. Like, I had to find them plaid shirts. Marcus had to go to a J. Crew versus to Target, which the price would have been half the price.
Oh, Target wasn't going to have what I had. Oh, for their shirts.
Yeah, for their plaid shirts.
Yeah.
I am not going to sit here and pretend that that's going to be easy for everybody else.
Yeah.
And then make somebody feel bad because you're not doing what I did. And if you cared about black people, what I'm saying is, because I know you're not inside of my community, I cannot sit here and say that the sacrifice you're going to make is going to even remotely be on the same scale as the sacrifice that I made. Because this one is small. That person might literally have to drive 3 hours to get to another option of a store to shop at if they're in a rural place. Because usually Walmart is the main store in a rural place. So that's kind of where I stand on a lot of it. I feel like people have to do what they morally feel led to do, politically feel led to do, and until a leader that is trustworthy enough for us to be able to be like, your life and your practices are one that we can all be like, all right. And not only that, you are taking in consideration of the fact that the Black experience in America or the Black lifestyle in America is no longer a monolith. Not even close. Yeah. All right. So we haven't gotten to my In My Feelings yet because Marcus jumped onto a deep one. But I do want to tell you all, before I go to my next sponsor, what do you want? Why are you standing in front of me like this? No calls while y'all here because y'all are loud. Sorry, my son was really like, I don't care that y'all at work. I'm going to stand here and be up in your face. They're out of school. But you know what? Just because they're out of school don't mean they have to be not in school. And that's why I'm so excited about our first sponsor, OutSchool. This is our first time working with them, and I'm so excited to tell you all about them. OutSchool is an online learning platform that empowers kids ages 3 to 18 to learn on their own terms with the widest variety of teachers, topics, classes suited for any interest. They offer interactive small group classes that are fun and social, video classes that can be taken anytime, one-on-one tutoring, and clubs that connect learners around their favorite topics. Since 2015, they've partnered and vetted diverse expert teachers to give kids everywhere greater access to high-quality education. OutSchool's mission is to inspire kids to love learning by making education fun, social, and self-directed. As you all know, I take my children's education extremely seriously as far as in researching the school, as far as in finding tutors for certain topics that my children might need more assistance with. And OutSchool is the perfect scenario for that person that is looking to be able to provide their child with the best supplement to their education. I'm going to tell you the our deal that we have for our listeners, but then I'm going to tell you more about the company. So if you want to try OutSchool, you can get it. You can now get up to $20 off your child's first class or tutoring session for a limited time. The exclusive discount is only available when you go to outschool.com and use code ARGUE at checkout. That's outschool.com and use code ARGUE for up to $20 off your child's first class or tutoring session on OutSchool. OutSchool, take charge of their future. So, listen, if you're not a part of our Patreon, you didn't hear this story about one of our Patreon subscribers whose school is running amok right now. That's a lot of schools. A lot of schools right now. There are things happening. And that is such a distraction for a child that is really trying to learn or for a parent that wants their child to learn. And it's very difficult to just say, I'm going to send my child to another school. So having something like OutSchool to be able to, one, make learning fun with fun activities and provide enrichment, but also help if there is a certain class that's really challenging for your child. And it's helpful for all of your academic needs. The fact that they have tutoring is huge, especially if you have a high school student. A lot of times the stuff that they're learning surpasses maybe what you remember from school. So instead of you sitting there struggling with your child, you can use OutSchool and it'll empower you to be able to give your child the help that they need. I love the fact that it's interest-driven learning, which I think is the perfect pedagogy for every child. It cultivates lifelong learning habits because a lot of times these kids are going off to college or going off to trade school where they still need to have really good learning habits. It's affordable and flexible, and it prepares your child for the future. They have over 1 million learners taking classes. They have 2,500 OutSchool educators with advanced degrees in their fields. They have 1 million five-star reviews since 2015. And it helps. This is really important for my family. 55% of the families have unique learning needs, such as ADHD, autism, dyslexia, or giftedness. And OutSchool is a approved resource for families that use ESA, which is Educational Savings Account, and the micro grants in Arizona, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, Indiana, and New Hampshire. One more time, if you want to try OutSchool, you can now get up to 20%. You can now get up to $20 off your child's first class or tutoring session for a limited time. This exclusive discount is only available when you go to outschool.com and use code ARGUE at checkout. That's outschool.com and use code ARGUE for up to $20 off your child's first class or tutoring session on OutSchool. OutSchool, take charge of their future. Okay. Back to the show. What's got me feeling some type of way is I feel my calendar starting to pace up. Good things happening, but I feel like I'm in problem-solving mode more than what I want to be. And this week is no exception. There are 3 days that we have to come up with a solution for our children's transportation. A little bit of childcare. I think I might have come up with a solution, but sometimes I just be like, when is this for the rest of my life? Oh God. Like, we have all this NAACP stuff to do this week and I'm realizing what time I have to be certain places. And I'm like, well, nope, that's during pickup time. So no, we got to have somebody pick up the kids. And I am not about to keep asking my mother. She has, in the first quarter, we just in the second month, has helped us out numerous times. So I'm trying to come up with a solution outside of her. But it is not easy. That was the blessing of having an assistant. It was just like, if we couldn't do it, they already knew it was good. Go ahead, get them kids, get them to the house. We don't have an assistant anymore. And so just getting back to that mode, it was for 2 solid years. That was something I did not have to worry about. And now I'm back to, oh God, who are we going to get to do this? And realizing the options are slim. They're few, few and far between. So that's got me feeling some type of way. What's got you feeling good?
Oh, it's got me feeling good. As y'all know, we got some new things that, oh, and these new for me that we've done. We've hosted 2 different events thus far this year. It's got me feeling good just being in front of, well, one, being in front of the people. It's funny, like when people ask us to do things live, I've heard it. I even told Angel in the past, like when somebody would call her and be like, hey, I want you to host this. And she'll be talking to me. It's like, I want you. I don't know what they want me to do. And I tell her straight up. I'm like, they're going to tell you to do you, to be you. That's exactly what they're going to tell you.
Do what you
she
do.
She was like, yeah, do what you do. And she's like, no, I'm going to see a column. And sure enough, they'll tell her, yeah, girl, so just do you. Just do what you do. Like, and that's what it was like. Is like people, I guess, see us. They see our content. And they just, I guess they just trust us to carry on without a script, like, and not knowing how difficult that may be, because we was like, we don't know exactly what to do, but you know, it's worked. We was at this event and it was, I mean, it was amazing. It was difficult starting off, but just knowing that we can, you know, being able to carry a crowd that is really not in tune with what you're doing to begin with. Like being able to gain the attention and energy is this was got me feeling good. Just, you know, being in an environment like that and being successful at it.
Fantastic. And you were successful at both of them.
All right. What's got you feeling good?
What's got me feeling good is that this week, is something wrong?
No.
Oh, okay. Typically, you would have been like, thank you.
Oh.
You looked at me like.
Yeah, I just said that. It. I was successful.
Anyways, what's got me feeling good this week is that we find out if this podcast won an NAACP the day this podcast episode airs.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea. We were up against some active heavy hitters. Like, these are podcasts that upload on a regular basis. These are podcasts whose audience dwarfs our audience.
Because y'all ain't telling your people about us.
So I have no clue. Not even a bit of an inkling. Last year, I had the tour as a vehicle. The Here's the Thing tour. So I was able to canvass amongst the masses. This year I didn't have that. So It was very much so. And then I didn't do my lives like I did consistently last year, where I was on live 3 times a day. There were the fires. Then it was just me not really getting my schedule down pat. It was not as productive and proactive as I was last year, is what I'll say. But I'm hopeful. And I hope we got it. If not, you know, the nomination to come out of the submission category into nomination is no small feat. So I will never frown upon the fact that we've currently have only been nominated. But I would like that trophy. I would like that trophy. I would like it. I would like it very soon. So that's got me feeling good, is to know that that will be over. And I won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I was happy when the voting closed. I was like, whew, all right, we're done. But I believe in the Angel Wings. I believe in the Tanks Riders. Kira asked, are we going to any of the Image Awards events? We are halfway attending the golf event, which is tomorrow on Tuesday, because we shoot this on Monday. We are attending the nominee reception. The nominee reception is replaced the nominee luncheon. The nominee luncheon was canceled due to the fires. So this is their replacement of it, which I didn't even realize. That's Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then Friday is the creative honors. And that is where I will present whoever will receive the 2025 Outstanding Social Media Personality of the Year award. So there are 3 events that we are attending. And then we are, as you all saw, the host of the virtual awards show.
That will be airing Wednesday.
Tomorrow, Tuesday.
And Wednesday. That's right. It's 2 days.
So we cut this out of last week's podcast because I didn't know what
we didn't
could
know
say.
What we could say. Or what? So we were just like Patreon. So this is what happened.
So for everybody else that is not a part of Patreon, we had to announce close to 60 categories for the virtual creative honors, which will air over 2 days. And one of those categories we had to announce is our category.
Yeah.
So the way it works.
Be excited.
So the way it works, and this is what I mean by we don't know if we won or not. The way it works is that we announce every nominee as if they're the winner. So in our category, we had to be like, and the winner is Therapy for Black Girls. Yeah. And the winner is we don't always agree with Sterling and Michelle. Is that her name? Yes, Michelle. Is this going to cause an argument? And the winner is. So we had to do that.
For every category.
For every single category.
Over 300. Probably closer to 400. Because I just did it. Time, but some category. Everybody
Ryan
ain't
Michelle,
got
thank you.
4 or 6 or 7 nominees.
Yeah.
And we had to announce each person as if they won.
For all of those categories. Every single last one. And the literary one was the one that was uppercutting us and punching us dead in our throats.
To say literary?
That word was trying to beat down Marcus. And then the books would have 50 million titles.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I don't know if I said it on live, but I told Patreon, for me to say literary, to make it sound like I'm saying literary, I have to over-enunciate. To make it sound normal, because otherwise it'd be like literary. It's like, that ain't the word. Literary. Literary. Anyway, to announce that, the titles of each award was already like kicking our butts. And then you got the book titles. You got the award, the name of the award, and then the book title is like a paragraph itself.
Let me tell you, our dear friend Tabitha Brown, this is the book title.
I forgot to tell her when I we talked.
Oh, yeah, you should have. The book title of the one that she was nominated for. I did a new thing, 30 Days to Living Free, a Feeding the Soul book by Tabitha Brown. Now, here's the thing about titles and about names. Y'all saw I messed up Ryan Michelle's name just a couple seconds ago. On our podcast, I can keep it moving. Or I could be like, my bad, Ryan Michelle. When you're hosting an awards show, you can't keep it moving. You got to take it back. You got to do it right. So I did a new thing, 30 Days to Living Free, a Feeding the Soul book. If you replace an with a "the," you got to start all over. If you do the past tense or wrong tense of living, 30 Days to Live Free. Nope, that's not the title of the book. Start all over.
Yeah, Lania, what you said?
What you said?
Shit.
Oh. So
I was like, what?
When I tell you that took us 6 hours to shoot, about 6 hours.
2 days of, we did Tuesday and Wednesday, we shot on one day.
Yeah. It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
And then what's crazy is, like, I think we already talked about this last week, but when we get it, it's something like, that can be a obstacle for your mouth and you get it right, perfect. And then they're like, oh, we got to do it again because the graphic in the back messed up. Or something's like, cut it in. like, nah, you got to do it again. I can't remember which one it was. There was one. It was perfect. Straight off one of the practices was, I said, was y'all recording that? They was like, I said, record everything I say moving forward.
There was one time where Marcus came out of the block so fast. And now I was like, you need to slow down. He was like, no, I'm getting through it. And then finally the director was like, so Marcus, if you could slow down.
Because this one, I'm getting the word perfect and I'm reading through it quick. I was twister on it. They was like, we need you to slow down on it.
Lene is petty. I'm not going to read what she's saying, but Patreon can see it. She's so messy. So hopefully we'll get news that we really want to have in here.
Yeah.
But if not, thank you all so much for voting for us. Thank you all for having our back. We greatly appreciate it. Because our first segment was so long, I'm going to go ahead and jump to our next sponsor because we are far into the podcast. And let me tell you, we want you far into your business. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, you can think of places like Alo or Aloe, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, a brilliant marketing, but an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. In the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversion up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going cha-ching. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout as Skims uses. That company's huge. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/argue.
Argue.
All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/argue.
Argue.
To upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/argue.
Argue.
You know, we use Shopify. You all should too. We love it. We ain't going nowhere. Come on and join us over there. There's a segment that we organically did last week that I want to add to our podcast. I'm not saying we have to do it today, but I feel like it was one of the reasons why our episode last week was so good. Like, a lot of our Patreon, as I saw as we were closing out, was like, today was a good episode. Is we started off things and we were like, did you know? And so you told me something last week that I didn't know anything about. And then, I don't know if it was something about space, but then I told you about California trying to exit the union. I was like, did you know about California exit? I think we should do that from now on, and we not tell each other what the did you know was going to be beforehand.
All right, mine was assuming that you knew. It wasn't even nothing big.
It was good, though. No. It might not have been
but I don't be knowing stuff, like, because I don't be caring about. Mine was, hold up, what was it?
You do be knowing stuff, Marcus.
Nothing interesting.
I'm trying to tell you.
What was I talking about? Because it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was online like that morning and I seen something. I'm like, did you hear about something? You was like, no. Then I talked, but yeah, I don't be in them.
All right, but it's only one thing. Like you can find one thing a week. That's not like.
You know, every time, what you're going to do? Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
No, it'll still be happen. Even. And I'll be like, what did you hear? And then I can give you what I heard. Okay. I don't like to be messy. But I'm sure you don't know about this.
I know I don't. As soon as you said messy.
So there is this podcast. It was a live show called Tonight's Conversation. And there was about six black folk on stage giving out, I would say, what seemed to be relationship advice. Mm-hmm. It was like two women, maybe four guys. Well, that whole thing has kind of blown up. I only followed one of the people from that podcast. Her name is Keita Rose. And the only reason why I ended up following her is because she did a dance to One Margarita. She used the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And people kept DMing me and was like, Keita Rose did your use One Margarita. And I was like, I have no idea who this is, but okay. And basically, her following that she created, a lot of it is from doing rants, long, very passionate rants. Whether you agree with her or not, she usually makes some valid points, and it's entertaining, to say the least. Well, apparently, the guy who was over, this man named Ace, he wasn't paying her or something. And so she's done this like 10-part series, if not more, of who the F did I work for? So kind of like who the F did I marry? You remember when that happened?
Yeah.
She has been doing podcast tours, like on other people's podcasts, crying. But this girl has been dropping the most random bombs. Like yesterday, she was talking about when you think you're focusing on these people over here and then all of a sudden a shot is fired this way.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about, and I'm not going to say who, y'all going to have to look at.
Cat Williams.
Yes. Yes.
Like we in, you know, in the industry and something. And then you know what? Robert Downey Jr. Like, yes. Wait a minute. How he catch a strike?
That's exactly what Marcus. When I tell you, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. I was watching a video. She was on this podcast.
Talking about Jay-Z and Tyler Perry getting into a fist fight. Robert Downey Jr. was in out the country. How he jump in?
She went on this woman's podcast named Tasha K. Now, Tasha K, I'm like, if you go on this woman's podcast, you only mean to be messy, in my opinion. This is a woman who got sued by Cardi B. Mm-hmm. Cardi B won. She literally, I'm talking about the mess. She was on there and she was like, yeah, well, you know, the guy Ace, his mentor was helping him and also trying to have relations with him. She was like, I mean, the same thing happened to me. My mentor was, trying to help me, but also, you know, da da da. She was like, but at least I got trips out of it. And she was like, really? And she was like, yeah. Such and such was trying to mentor me, and that happened too. Now, this is the such and such that it was just like, this person is on a completely different podcast, a completely different show, and I was like, my mouth dropped open. No, the whole thing is, you would not want to actually hear about none of this mess and tell, like, obviously the juicy bits of it, kind of like the way Marcus is on the Real Housewives.
Yeah. Had no interest in watching these middle-aged black women get together and argue, fuss, and fight for no damn reason at all. In fact, I despised it. But Angel had it on so much, so every now and then I would just be walking past TV. It's like, what's going on? And I kept hearing about this Apollo. And then there was one episode in particular. I was walking past, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, so what's going on? And apparently he had been lying all this time about somebody trying to holler at him. And everybody looked at him. Even his wife was like, so you've been lying the whole time? He was like, yeah. I don't know how long this was going on, but he was just like, yeah, like, a lot better.
And this is what's crazy.
It's just the looniest shit I've ever seen. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? And so Angel goes back. I said, and he done ruined all these relationships, caused all this trouble. And just like, at the end of the day, you just like, oh, no, I drunk your tea. My bad. Like, he can just go to the refrigerator and get somebody another bottle.
Yeah. Does not care. He did not care. God. And the thing is, I don't like to be entertained by internet beef. I really don't. I think it's so.
I like rap beef. That's it.
Yeah, I don't like it, but because in most of the
Kendrick
people,
and Drake rap beef, but like the real rap beef.
And most of the people that I follow don't be having. You know, I follow Maddie James. Okay, if she's gonna have beef, it's gonna be on a charcuterie board. It's not gonna be with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like when people were upset about Tab with her stance on shopping at Target, I had no idea that anybody had an issue with it because I don't follow people who pretty much put out, I guess, negative stance. They only put out what their positive stance is on stuff most of the time.
Yeah, I only know about what I heard from y'all. I ain't paying attention to other people.
So this whole tonight's conversation would not have even been in my purview had I not started following this black girl who is like trying to it. Marcus, you would be like, what? Then there's this man named Tony Gaskin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, somebody from somewhere. I don't know this man. He's I think he's a relationship expert, but he comes from a Christian basis, and he then gave his whole spill on things, and he's like, well, I mean, she ain't no victim. She was complacent until she stopped getting paid. That's what that sound like. He said, and
so he's speaking on the beef.
Yes, giving his point.
All right.
Because that's what happens in content creation.
Yeah.
Other people's lives become your content.
Yeah.
And I guess people wanted to know. And he was like, and it sounded like Ace took a stupid pill, which a lot of people do when they start making a lot of money. A lot of men take a dumb pill and start making stupid choices. He was like, but I don't think she a victim. I think she just mad because she's no longer getting paid. Marcus, if you could hear the foolishness, she's talking about witness parties, because apparently the dude Ace is a Jehovah's Witness and there's certain things that you can't do. So the witness parties would be when they would all get together and do the things that they're not supposed to do.
Oh, I was like, oh, so the witness party is something Jehovah's Witness do. No, it's the opposite. Okay. I was like, I ain't know Jehovah's Witness be getting together partying like that. All right.
When I tell
lit.
I say all this to say, and I said this to my girlfriend Marquita yesterday because we were talking about it. You are not going to find me taking relationship advice from any man that does not have is not an LMFT, licensed marriage family therapist, is not a clinical social worker, is not a licensed therapist, unless the advice is being given from him and his wife. Yeah. It always makes me go, yuck, when these men get on here. This is how Derrick Jackson became who he became. These men get on here pretending to be experts, mm-hmm. giving the advice, because what it is that a lot of them, they prey on the vulnerabilities of black women, because most of their audience base are black women. They prey on the vulnerabilities of black women because black women are constantly fed that we're unmarriable, that we're the last to get married, that we have all these like issues. So you have these men saying the things that they want to hear. Yeah. So their audience base becomes heavily women that that drink up what they're saying. And I'm like, well, if you're such a relationship expert and you don't have the credentials, I need to hear your wife.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I've always hated that too. Like hearing when I see these men doing all of this damn talking, I need your wife to be just as vocal.
Yes.
Like not some mute off in the corner, just agreeing with everything you say. Like I need her to have some backbone and speak up on the woman's behalf on all the bullshit that's coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that is what, with Derrick Jackson, he was cheated on his wife with numerous women, according to Keita. Ace was cheating on his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And I am like, I am not shocked. Why is anyone shocked by this? Because where is she? You can't tell me this is what a man is supposed to do. You can't tell me all this if she's not telling me that you did it. If she's not expressing, actually, yes, these are some of the things that we do together to help our relationship. So it, then it doesn't really so much become that you all are relationship experts. You are just saying we're going to model to you what we've done and worked versus someone who has studied.
We're just going to model to you what's going to make me look good because apparently it ain't worked.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They're not legit because they're none of them have ever had, none of these men that I've mentioned have ever had their wives be with them in this advice.
Oh,
that's the reason why I say it is a little different. Like, for example, Kevin and Melissa do never present themselves as relationship experts, right? They always say they're marriage champions. They had the love hour. I was about to say the love fest. They had the love hour, right? They brought on experts. They used their own life experiences to test out a lot of the stuff that the experts were giving them, as well as gave examples from their life, the good and the bad of their things. So again, they were modeling. These are the things that did not work for us. These are the things that did.
Yeah.
If there's only one person talking in that relationship, I'm like somebody, there's somebody lying and it's the one that's talking.
Yeah.
That's what all of that mess. That's what that brought me to. The did you know brought me to y'all got to stop listening to these men. All of y'all stop it. Only man, singular man that I would listen to that I did not know. Like I would listen to a male friend that I really believed only wanted the best for me. That wasn't also trying to get in my, you know, draws. Yeah. Like if I had a big brother.
Yeah. That BJ. Would, yeah. Can you imagine him giving some relationship advice?
He'd be like, oh.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, then I would know you're not trying to get anything out of it. But a lot of these men, they are trying to get something out of it. They're trying to get money, and they're also trying to get side hoes, which they did. Most of them did.
Yeah.
All of them did. Have you ever, do you feel like you can detect the slut on a man?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is it? What is the thing that really sticks out to you? Because I feel like I can too.
I don't know. It's in conversation. I can detect that just the way, literally just the way he interacts when meeting other women or around other women for the first time. Like, hey, John, this is Sarah. Oh, Sarah, nice to meet you. Just in that interaction, I'd be like, yep.
Yeah,
like it's so, to me, I can't even point. I could probably imitate it. Maybe, I don't know. It's just so obvious to me.
Mm.
It's just in conversation, the way they talk, the way they talk about their wives. Even if it's in a loving way, you can just pick up on it. I can't even describe what it is. I think most men can though. Like, I don't know if a dude could be that far out there and another man be around him and somebody tell him, you know, he done messed up. You done had like 5 kids on his wife. And they'd be like, what? They might be like at front and like, what? Are you serious? But actually be surprised and shocked about it. Like, oh, yeah, I could see that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I can sniff out whole tendencies, slut behavior really fast. And go ahead.
There was one that I didn't pick up on. Oh, there was one.
Is somebody I know?
Yes. And when you told me, I said, you mean another woman found him attractive?
I'm going to need you to cover your mouth and not say it out loud.
I was like,
yeah,
who?
Yeah.
How? How? Still blows my mind to this day.
Oh, yeah. No, white girls love it.
And then I wasn't looking on it because,
white girls love that. White girls love it. Can't get enough of it. They're like,
I don't know saying how a woman gets.
Stinky,
I know
stinky,
men
stinky.
Ain't known for being fresh and clean. I am. All right. Angel was talking about me this weekend about my 15, 20 minute showers because I get clean. Okay. I don't know how women can get past funk and odor. I don't understand it.
Well, before we finish talking about relationship red flags.
Whisper a little loud.
Let's talk about what are some relationship green flags. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We often hear about red flags we should avoid, but what if we focus more on looking for green flags in friends and partners? If you're not sure what to look for or what they look like, therapy can help you identify green flags, actively practice them in your relationships, and embody the green flag energy yourself. Whether you're dating, married, building a relationship, or just working on yourself, it's time to form relationships that love you back. Let me tell you, that was besides goal setting and hitting the goals that I wanted to hit, what therapy really helped me with was identifying the red flags in my friendships and addressing those red flags and having them things turn green. You understand? And also being inner, like, aware and self-aware to figure out what red flags I was operating in and figuring it out. How can I get to a green flag? I don't know if I would have done that without taking the time that I had with therapy. And this is why I recommend it for you. BetterHelp is where you should go. It is a fully online therapy. It makes therapy affordable and convenient. And they are serving over 5 million people all over the world. You can access a diverse network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties. So, baby, somebody gonna be in there for you, all right? And you can easily switch therapists at any time, and there's no additional charge. That's amazing. Discover your relationship green flags with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/argue to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/argue.
Argue.
All right, so you said how they interact with women.
Especially in conversations, like, you know, when it's just men talking, they'll like talk about an actress or somebody walking by. It's like, oh yeah, she's cute, she's pretty, whatever. But it's like, how far they go with that? It's just like, and these is just, we just some random ass men you just met, and you feel free to say that. It's like, so that in that way they tell on themselves, but it don't even have to be said. It's just an energy. It's just a way they move. It's, yeah, it'd be obvious.
Yeah, something about an energy. And this is not to be like, oh my God, I would never be with a man that cheated on me. I'm not trying to be that person. I'm saying from the outside looking in, I can see how it can get murky if you're inside of the relationship with the person.
Yeah, it's like, like she said, it's a little more obvious, I think, if you're not in the air and you're only experiencing, or that person, they're only experiencing supposedly each other.
Yeah.
So it's hard to see, gauge. It'd be hard for me to gauge Angel's energy and how she interacts when she's the only woman that I'm around consistently, where, you know, looking at everybody else is like, okay, that's a wife, that's a wife, that's a wife. Wait a minute. Why she do that so much? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is like, it's completely different.
Now, I will say I have a complete blind spot for hoe tendencies for a woman. Like, I feel like it's truly, when I guess right, it's not because there was something about their energy. It was because God told me, hey, she out there. It's nothing that I can literally like point to and be like, if a chick does this, if a chick does that. Yeah. And obviously I've had many a good friend that's that would categorize themselves as a hoe. But there's nothing similar.
All of them hoes. No,
there's nothing similar.
This is definitely not a similar energy. It's not a similar outlook. And it is harder. I can somewhat pick it up on women, but it's not nearly as obvious. It's almost like men are wearing a sign on their forehead for me.
Yeah.
Not just looking at them walking past, but just seeing them, the way they, like I said, the way they interact in conversation and the way they interact with people.
How they present themselves. There's a lot of things that I have been able to pick up and been right. Like, I think once my guessing average is so high, I'm like, yeah, I now know that I know what I know. But for women, there could be women doing foul things right underneath my nose, as far as in with their own partner and outside of their own partner, if that makes sense. And I would be like, what? You, what?
She'd be like, girl, you saw somebody else's face popped up on my FaceTime.
And the thing is I've definitely guessed. Let me tell you, I've definitely guessed and been accurate with certain women. But again, it's not because of something they were doing. It was God going, ask them this, and me asking and then getting the answer that I was like, well, there it is. So
yeah, and I don't, for me, I like, one reason for me is like, I don't really pay attention to it. I guess when it comes to women, I pay more attention to it when it's men, because it's like, if I'm around men, it's like your actions could, you know, the mess that you own could get on me. Like, yeah.
Your stench.
I ain't trying to be associated. Yeah, I ain't trying to be associated with what you're doing. So for men, it's quicker to pick up. Women, that's not going to affect me the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, we not going to be hanging out like that or,
yeah,
or birds of a feather thing. So it's like, I don't really pay that much attention to it. And even if it is, I notice, I'm like, oh, she be messing around for real, for real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's people out here, it's like, we know for a fact they will hunting track. And there's one lady in specific, she was like, hey, came up to hug me. I turned her body sideways and gave her the side hug so quick. It ended it quick, because I know anybody around could see that and be like, it wouldn't be me. She trying to get in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. So I pray for all of our, because 80% of our listeners are women. I'm going to pray for those that are single, that your discernment, I mean, yes, and even if you're married, yes, that your discernment of like these men that have these stronghold tendencies starts to crank up, because it could save you so much anguish and strife. Because we were looking at Derek Jackson, who cheated on his wife in a very, it was in the way it was exposed, the only person who really ended up getting embarrassed was the wife.
Mm.
The mistress was speaking out on it. He did apology videos. Unfortunately, his wife was going through. And also, I'm not sure. I don't know her mental well-being. I'm fully not sure. She received a lot of ridicule because of how she responded. It felt a little bit like off, if that makes sense.
That's the other thing. People holding these people to a standard when it's just like,
Let me
don't know how they're going to react in public. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But let me finish.
Okay.
He has not lost any followers. His followership has went up.
Hey.
He was at 1.1 when he was having his, when he was exposed of his affair. He's at 1.3.
I can believe it.
So that's why I'm like, I know it's the ladies. I need us to want better from these people that you're taking advice from. I need you to be like, you know what, God, give me the right people to listen to, or just talk to me directly.
Remember a couple months ago, I said I came to the realization that most people ain't smart. That's like, I would say I would giving the average person way too much credit.
Yes. Yes.
And that's part of it. Giving the average person just way too much credit. Like, whew.
Shay, our moderator, said, women will advocate for a man they are attracted to. If you don't speak the truth, we got to stop it. We got to stop that. And that's another tool that they use. Derrick Jackson's shirts be so tight, you can see his heartbeat.
I remember them, because I remember the interview, the way he was clenched, had a hand all clenched, all tight.
His shirts are little Marcus's size, but he is broad-chested like Pete. There is no reason for his shirts, and he always wears a good cotton tight shirt. And I'm like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's using it as a tool. He's making money off of it. I wouldn't have a problem with any of it if it didn't feel like black women were being preyed upon.
Yeah.
Like, you know what has been said about us. And like somebody also mentioned, obviously, inside of our Patreon, a lot of and it's not true, but it still will get in your psyche if that's all you're hearing about yourself.
Right.
If all you're hearing is that you are the last to get married and that you're unmarriable, even if you know it's not to be true, it eventually gets into your psyche. And then you prey upon that by like saying the things that every black woman kind of wants to hear. It's just annoying. Little Marcus, go outside and wait for our food. It's coming in a Volkswagen.
I forgot food was coming.
So that's my prayer as we travel past Valentine's Day. Oh, how was your, I know the event went well. How was your Valentine's Day?
It was cool.
It was cool?
Yeah.
Mine was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised yours was only cool. That's crazy.
Yeah. Nah.
That's crazy.
Nah, it was good.
We
sat in that room.
I mean, we did more than sit in that room.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. We didn't leave that room. We didn't see no part of that hotel. We didn't see no part of Dallas. We was in that room. Yeah.
It was.
You better disinfect that thing. All of it. The ceiling, the mirrors.
You being extra now. It was such a relaxing time. The only thing I wish is that we could have gone to the spa. That would have been chef's kiss.
Yeah, I got to use mine. I plan on using it this week, but everything snuck up on me. Yeah, no, it was a good time. And it was it was a quick trip too.
It was.
It wasn't like we had a whole lot of time. There was people we wanted to see we didn't get to see, but it was just moving so quick. So I wouldn't have wanted to get into a whole lot anyway, especially the day of, like, you needing like hair and makeup and all that. It's just like, nah, that I ain't trying to squeeze nothing else in.
And listen, as we get ready to close out, I don't want to forget to mention that I met the Bishop TV.
Hey, we didn't even talk about all that.
Yeah, we were supposed to go into it, and then this did you know end up flowing into the main topic.
After an example, so we ain't gonna do it this week, but one thing I'm gonna talk about 30 minutes later.
I know you ain't talking. You're in my feelings was the first 20 minutes.
That's because you started talking.
Well, that's giving my point of view, and you wanted to keep rebutting me.
No, what's got me in my feelings?
Yeah, and I was just wanted to give my point of
view. You should have said, what's got me in my feelings?
Hush.
Hell. Yeah, y'all, we met
Bishop
T.D. Jakes, his lovely wife.
Miss Sarita Jakes.
Miss Sarita Jakes. We met Sarah Jakes Roberts.
No, I've already met her.
Oh, I hadn't. I met her and her husband. Wonderful people.
And he finally got to meet Mary and George, Pastor.
Yes.
Bishop George and Lady, which I think she's a pastor, Mary C. Wright.
That's I thought we would be talking about, but I didn't want to get all long-winded in my segment. It was a surreal moment beforehand. So when we get there, just real quick, y'all, the whole time we didn't know any of these people would be there. We thought it would be the pastors that we had the meeting with.
Pastor Don Johnson and Lady Phaedra Johnson, yeah.
So we knew, had a real good rapport with them. You know, he gave me the green light. He said, Marcus, do you. You got the green light.
I said, he don't follow our content.
Say less, man.
No, I said, he must not follow our content.
But they wanted us to be loose and fun and all that because they was like, no, they need this. So just be... do what y'all do. We were like, cool. So when we get there, and then Angel, I think I may have seen him first. And I think when we were walking in real quick, and I was like, that's T.D. Jakes right there. In my head, like, that's T.D. Jakes. we were, well, both of us were cool before then. Angel.
I got bubble guts instantly.
Because my, like, I wasn't raised, like, extremely on the extreme side of churchy. All right, we went to church every Sunday, and that was it. I went to vacation Bible school in the summer, and then I had, went to most Sundays. I went to Sunday school before church started.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, like, every single day church events on the weekend. That wasn't me. Like, I put this away. I put it this way. I was in church just enough to respect that ground as holy ground. I feel like people that's in the church too much lose that respect. And people that ain't in church at all don't have that respect. I was just like, no, it, look, I'm a heathen until I cross this line right here where your parking lot start. I'd be like, hey, mom, it. Yeah, chill out now. Like, that's where I was. Anyway, so for me, TDJ, like, that family and that whole dynamic, they are more, I see them more of celebrities. Because I wasn't, like, growing up, I, like, my daddy, he, when he would listen to sermons and stuff, it was usually, like, a local, a lot of local preachers or whatever. So I didn't grow up hearing a lot of their stuff. So for me, it was just like, oh, okay, yeah, they here, cool. Nothing really changed for me. Until after we went up there a couple times and I sat down and I'm looking around the room and I was just like, this is crazy. This is crazy that I'm sitting here hosting these people in this environment. I'm in here with them. They, I don't know if all of them agree, but they asked us to be here. They asked us to be here.
It's insane.
And then that's when it started setting in of me thinking about who they actually are. And that's when I was like, I'm glad I didn't have these thoughts beforehand.
Uh-huh.
Because I would have been where you were. Of like, oh my God. So yeah, sitting there, then that's when it was just like my mind was blown. And then it went from there to gratitude to it just turned surreal. It was just like, what?
So for me, grew up with T.D. Jakes being a constant voice in our house. My mother would get his DVDs, his VHSs, his tapes. We never went to any of the conferences. And because I am a PK, I honestly don't have a lot of reverence for most preachers. As you would think it would be the opposite way. I see all these preachers as human that have just been given a gift that they're hopefully using for the actual purpose of being a vessel to bring the love of Christ to other people. But I also understand they gonna make mistakes like a regular human being. So I don't typically have very much reference. I'll give you the respect that I feel you deserve. Yeah. But I'm not going to be like, oh, well, that's the Archbishop ooh. Such and such. That I lost that so long ago.
I've pissed except so many people off in church.
Except for this man right here. I have such a respect and reverence for Bishop Jakes, not because I think he's perfect, not because I'm sure he hasn't made mistakes that would probably disappoint people, but because of how consistent he's been. And half the time, that be the battle. A lot of these pastors, if they're consistent, they're consistent with a lot of BS. Consistent with a lot of mess. And I, in my life, he has been a very consistent person. Not only that, even the sermons that I have heard of his, yes, baby.
We are working.
What do you need?
No.
When you get home, you can call it. Y'all about to go home. His messages have consistently shown me that he is talking to the Lord. Because they've always felt very relevant. They've always felt timely. And they've always felt like a revelation. And for me, I have just so much respect for that because that is not something that will come, I feel like, easily or naturally. I've seen a lot of preachers. This is why I say we should boo preachers, because I can see through the emotion. I can see through the theatrics, and I can get straight to what they're saying. And sometimes it'd be on some old basic, you just wasted 45 minutes to an hour of my time. You could have said this in 5 minutes.
That's where I'd be.
You playing games.
Yeah, that's where I'd be, especially the ones with the big theatrics when I'm actually listening to what they're saying, I'm like, remove them theatrics and this person ain't said nothing.
So for me,
it's just breathing loud.
It's more so the longevity. In my life, tested, tried and true in the way he has presented himself in the public and how it seems to marry really well with what he might not be in the public and what he's built over the time. I have a huge amount of respect. So the fact that he made eye contact with my husband and extended his hand and was like, thank you all so much. I was just like, this is insane. I have been hearing your voice since I was a child. Yeah. And now your voice is telling me that your voice is telling me thank you. When I still remember this one message of his that was so profound that I know set so many people free. When he was like, you keep asking for someone who doesn't have the capacity to love you the way you need to be loved, to love you the way you need to be loved. He was like, a quart cannot fill up a gallon. It doesn't have the capacity to pour it and fill up a gallon. And I thought, God, dog, guess how many generational problems you just solved in breaking that metaphor down for those people. I still remember that. Anyways, I feel very blessed. It wasn't that I was starstruck. I just have a lot of respect. I was like, I don't want to invade his space. I don't want to invade Miss Sarita's space.
Because they were setting, we were at this like table. They were like catacorner to us. We were right beside them. And there were people, you know, coming over to speak. So I purposely kept my distance until like right at the end, after we wrapped things up, we were walking and I could tell that they were leaving. So I said, that's when I'll, you know, step over and speak to him. So I was on my way over there and that's when he extended his hand. First of all, Sarah Drake's Roberts don't even look real in person.
She's an action hero.
She don't look real at all.
She's an action hero dressed in heels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's smiling. She could take me down with 8 black eyes and I only got 2.
She could probably body slam him. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. They were so, that's the thing that like people, the energy was so genuine.
Yeah.
It was so real, so genuine. There's people that we see multiple times a year that ain't that genuine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like literally like people that we know. It's like these people have invited us out. They are, when it comes to society, they are like celebrity status. They are respectful.
Yeah.
TDJ's probably the most famous pastor.
He is.
One of the like most famous pastors that's ever lived. You got him, Louis Farrakhan. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Like, he's like so high up there. And for him.
As far as in fame.
As far as in fame. And you have him, his daughter, his wife, her husband. For them to be so genuine and sit there and talk to us and thank us is just like. For me, it's a blessing, but it also makes me look at people or other people like, what's your problem? Yeah, it was.
Shay said, TD's up here with Angel's daddy. It's just he's a figure.
No, just as far as fame, like because Angel said, like she said, he's been so consistent for so long. Like, I've always heard that name.
Yeah.
Even from my upbringing, I've always heard that name.
There's a lot of pastors that can do a lot of mess ups. And I'll be like, oh, well, I'll be like, please don't mess up big. Please, Mr. Jakes. You're a bit of the cornerstone right now. Yeah, Jesus is the cornerstone. But you are, as far as in what people are looking to hear for like instruction, you're pretty high up there. So if you could please stay on the path. And he's done. Listen,
I've heard his sermon. What I've heard from him has been extremely powerful. It was, like I said, it was surreal. It was just like, what?
Well, y'all,
did they misspell to get me here?
Yeah, and Sarah was like, I said, Sarah, I was like, this is my husband, Mark. She said, I know, I see him all on the internet. And I was like, what? how you seeing us? I guess you do. I guess because they are the ones who invited us. Pastor Ray and Pastor Sarah are the ones who invited us.
Yeah, Pastor Ray, he's mad cool. We sat and talked. So nice. They just such nice people.
He was cool. I've met him before. I met him while he when he was still in L.A. and wasn't him he and still, Sarah went together. Yeah,
he goes back and forth.
I believe it.
Yeah, we talked family. We sat there talking. me and him, I don't know. It may have been like a 10-minute conversation.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, we were just sitting there, standing there talking for the longest.
Where was I?
I don't know. Running your mouth.
Oh, yeah, I missed that.
That was after, like, we initially spoke.
Oh, yeah, I completely missed that.
Yeah.
Didn't have no idea.
Because
no
I was going in happened. For the handshake, and everybody hugged up and everything. And then we ended up coming back, and me and him were standing there talking. I think it was after one of the dances. They're coming off the dance floor, and we were standing there talking.
And the Potter's House team, listen, they know how to treat somebody real good. Real nice. Thank you.
Going in, look, y'all know I'm from the construction world.
That building.
As we go, that building, that's not a building, that's a facility. That facility is insane. I told Angel, I said, you can always judge, coming from construction, you can always judge about the amount of financial well-being something has by how many elevators it has. Elevators and escalators. First of all, if it has an escalator, that's on a whole different level.
Yes.
But one elevator, all right, I give you that. That's nothing. It's going to maybe one floor to the next. Maybe had to do it because of ADA compliance. Okay, but when you got multiple elevators that go to multiple floors in multiple sections, that's money. Because elevators are expensive, not only to build, but to maintain.
That building is amazing.
If that lady walked off and left us, we would have been lost.
Yeah, we've been like, well, we're just going to host this in the hallway.
Uh-huh. I'm going to have to take somebody down and eat their arm because we in here now.
wait a minute. So close this out, baby.
Thank y'all for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Y'all can find Angel on all platforms and everything is That Chick Angel. Y'all can find me on the other platforms I ain't gonna be on. Marcus ain't on. Whatever it is. The book, the gram, and Tank Don't Talk. Y'all can shop Mama Likes. Bonnets, robes, makeup, jewelry. I don't know. Might even find a dude or two. Y'all can go... Yeah, shopmamalikes.com. You can shop Man Shit. That's my beard and body butter, manshyt.com. And thank y'all for tuning in. We greatly appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. We will holler at y'all next time. Patreon, bye. Stick around because we're going to talk.